Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio and my YouTube channel, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. I am your host and guide, Jojoba Maria Enferoma. The year 2020 is an earth year, according to the wisdom that I keep, and it brings opportunities, powerful opportunities for expansion of both the good and the bad. 2020 is astrologically respected and philosophically regarded as a bridge that leads humanity away from the old and unnecessary beliefs and structures and over to the threshold of the new structures and new beliefs that are necessary for our evolution on this planet. The future is now. January 2020 is the first of three water months in a year that is demanding that we stand in truth, vulnerability, worthiness, commitment, and adaptability. So to reverently open 2020, I am presenting my annual New Year's message, and I'm doing it in two parts. Last week was part one, and this week is part two, to honor this new decade and this era of radical human evolution. So tonight, I am going to be spilling about navigating the 2020 transit. But first, for those of you who may be listening in for the first time, let me give you a brief overview of Wisdom Walk. It is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support you in learning how to recognize and release any and all pain that may be blocking fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. So every Sunday night at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern, I will put Eastern first, I broadcast live here on Black Hole Radio, unless I'm on hiatus, which is going to happen over the next 2 weeks, or again, if something unexpected occurs, some technical difficulty. But if for some reason, if you're accessing this program over the internet and you have a problem with your connection, you can listen to the live broadcast on a telephone line at this number. It is area code 563-999-3089. Again, that's 563-999-3089. Also know that I will upload a video of this broadcast on Wednesday at the latest, to my YouTube channel, which again is Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. You can ask questions or share comments on my Facebook page, which is Wisdom Walk Radio, or on my website, there will be a way that you can connect with me through the email, and the website is www.wisdomwalktoselfmastery.com. And of course, if you are watching this as a YouTube, you can comment or ask questions in the box below. But right now, I invite you to sit or lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where we can connect to our soul and discover the true, true treasure of being human. Wow, thank goodness I write stuff out that I can refer to and guide me, because let me tell you, my energy right now is like all over the place. Yes, today is January 12th, the awaited day for decades of what's called the Saturn-Pluto conjunction in the sign of Capricorn. And it is definitely heralding in a transit, moving from what was to what is going to be. And for those of us who are aware and awake and who consider ourselves to be light keepers, light bearers, yeah, it's quite an energetic time. The past 2 days, the past 3 days, including today, have been quite a time energetically. So thank goodness I've got stuff written out that helps to guide me, because oh my goodness, staying grounded, it's really hard to stay grounded right now. And I just like want to be up dancing almost. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to start off the way I always do with my programs, which is to honor the ancestors. And because we're in such a time of great change and great energy, I just want to call on all the ancestors and not leaving anybody out, because, yeah, it's that big an energy. So join me if you will. And thinking about those persons whose shoulders you're standing upon, the persons for whom you would not be here if they had not lived their life. And ancestors can be people who are blood related, but they can also be people who were not, people who were either friends of the family or just friends that you had. It can also be celebrities or historical figures that you have a connection to, like me with Josephine Baker and Louis Armstrong, two very powerful and important ancestors for me. So I'm going to do an invocation calling them up, because I know I totally need ancestor support and help to get through and navigate through 2020. So it helps if you say their names aloud, but do take a deep breath in and let it out. Now let's call up those ancestors. Creator, Mother, Father, God, Source, all the one, all that is, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for your blessing and your mercy in our lives and for yet another opportunity to call on the ancestors. Ah, Creator, clearly you have made this world to be such that when we are in times of challenge, when we are in times of trouble, that we can turn to you. And you have also given us access to the ancestors, your emissaries, those who can do God speak, those who were here and know now the difference because of that journey. And we are so grateful that you make them accessible to us. And we ask and thank you for making them even more accessible to us. So I'm calling out to you, ancestors. Ancestors, 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 please come. Please guide us, for we need your help, your support, your love, and your guidance and your wisdom at this time, at this powerful time of great change here on this planet, in this universe. And ancestors, we know we can't do this alone. We know we can't understand, we can't plan, we can't figure out all of what is required, but we're willing to learn. And so through that willingness, we invoke you, invite you to come and be our guides, be our teachers, be our leads. Give us the way forward so that we can truly reach our promised land personally and collectively on this planet. And Creator, once again, I just want to thank you, thank you, thank you for the blessing of the ancestors. And I thank you for this opportunity to invoke them in the name of all that is holy. I say amen, ashe, aho, asa, ashinka, bismillah, and so it is, ashe. Wow, I have so much to share. Like last week, I had so much to share, and I didn't have enough time. So I hope to be able to give you everything within the hour, because I realize some of the things that are important about this year, I will be able to share with you in preceding broadcasts and videos. But I do want to give you at least what I consider to be some fundamental, even foundational bits of information that can be helpful to you in navigating through 2020, through this transit. So tonight, everything I'm going to be sharing is really about my annual message to you. So I'm going to start with just an overview from the Daggara ancient wisdom about what 2020 is as an earth year. Then I'm going to talk about some numerology. I didn't do that last week about 2020 that can be, that is again in alignment. It's so in alignment with the Daggara wisdom. I am going to give you your elemental wisdom for the week because we're actually going into an earth week. And then I am going to talk about the Saturn-Pluto conjunction and some more about what that means and also share some historical events that give us a sense of how what type of change we may be ready for or that is coming. And then after that, I am going to focus on how you can personally navigate through 2020 because to me, it really is a time of great growth for all of those who are willing to take on that challenge. So let me start again talking about 2020 as an earth year by sharing the quote from my teacher, Maladama Somme, a great Daggara shaman and elder from Burkina Faso. And his book is called, one of his books is called The Healing Wisdom of Africa, in which I got this quote from. And he says, "Earth symbolizes the mother in whose lap everyone finds a home, nourishment, support, comfort, and empowerment. Representing the principle of inclusion, Earth is the ground upon which we identify ourselves and others. It is what gives us identity and a sense of belonging. Earth is the power to notice, to see and to thrill in being seen. Yes, yes, yes. I just love that. So if you or someone you know was born in an Earth year, and that means that the last number of your birth year would be a 0 or a 5, like 1955 or the year 2000. And if you are an Earth person, that means that this year will be one of intense personal growth and spiritual development as the cosmos works its magic to bring you more into alignment with your essential nature and your highest purpose. Yeah, yeah. It's like it's when it's your elemental year. It's like your essence gets stirred up. And it really calls out to you, come on, come on, we got something big here to do, you know, and it works to get you in alignment. So, of course, if you're getting more into alignment, there's going to be some things that need to fall to the wayside. And so that's why we consider it to be a very transformational, powerfully transformational year when it's your elemental year. So all those Earth people out there, get ready. But it's going to be really, really important and wonderful because you're energetic. The essence of what you carry is so what's needed for where we're at as a species in terms of our relationship to the Earth. So we need you in alignment with your Earth essence to really help us remember and practice what it is and how it is we need to be with the Earth. And that's, to me, one of the fundamental shifts that we need to be making. We need to become stewards of the Earth rather than consumers of the Earth. Now, you know, within these first 12 days of 2020, we've had just some really heartbreaking situations going on between the earthquake and aftershocks of Puerto Rico, the fires in Australia, the loss of so many animals, and, of course, people losing their homes or having their life disrupted because of the fires. There's fires in Africa. The Amazon is still an issue. There was a plane from Iran that went down, and over 170-some people lost their lives. So the year has already started off with a lot of, you know, tension, disaster, struggle, suffer, you know, the kind of stuff we definitely don't want to have to be living through. And so the biggest challenge that I see for this year for us as a species, as humans, and that we can take on a very personal level, is to address homelessness from the inside out. So spiritually, the overwhelming number of people literally living on the streets in every city around the world and other and towns and villages, you know, wherever. But it's a messaging of how disconnected we are from our true selves as a result of modernity, a result of the modern world. We don't feel at home within our divinity because we are so distracted by the pursuit of material objects and doing whatever it takes to have them. As a result, we trust in our employers, our credit cards, our banks, our money more than we trust in our greater order and direction or believe that we really do have a cosmic address. Yeah, we all have a cosmic address. And as I said last week, like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, you know, we were running around the Wizard's castle instead of clicking our heels and going home. And so one of the biggest opportunities we have this year is to ask ourselves on a daily basis, how can I help? It's about invoking a very generative, nourishing, and abundant universal love energy that this earth element has for us and focus it on being of service to others. And most importantly, without expecting anything in return. You know, one thing about modernity is that we're so used to clicking on something or putting a coin in a slot and getting something out right away. We are so used to that. And what I'm talking about is to open up to not thinking that every action, everything that you do has to result in what you know is going to be the outcome or the blessing, that you actually open yourself up to receiving unknown blessings as a result of your willingness and your faith gesture to be of service to others. When you do that, you're automatically serving yourself. So you really get something back right away. Yeah, yeah. But it's time for us to let go of thinking that, you know, there has to be this immediate reciprocity for what we do. Because I believe part of why it's a challenge for us to think about serving others is because we first think about, well, what am I going to get for that? How am I going to, how's that going to, you know, use my, how is that using my time and energy well? You know, it's like we put a dollar sign on everything we do, and we need to break out of that. And the connection between that and our homelessness is, when you're doing a faith gesture like that, when you're willing to share of yourself faithfully, you're connecting to your divinity within. Yeah, you're connecting to your divinity within. And the more we strengthen that experience, the more we believe in that experience, we will see a change in the external world that we live in. Yeah, yeah. And so a lot of what's happening with these disasters going on is that people are being given real opportunities to do that, to be about, let me help someone. Even though I may have lost my house, that person may have lost a loved one. So how can I help? You know, it's that kind of a thing. Yeah. And it's unfortunate that maybe we do have to have disasters show up in order to get into our divinity, but let's do it, choosing it without having to wait for a disaster to come. Yeah. So the numerology of 2020 is very interesting, and I got this from a woman called Tanaz, T-A-N-A-A-Z. I'll put a link for her in the box below this video. Her website is foreverconscious.com, and she says 2020 is also a number 4 in numerology, which is a number that represents, are you ready for this? Coming home to the self. Yeah, coming home to the self. We may feel this energy coursing through the year as well. So again, another validation about the fact that we feel homeless. We're not connected enough to ourselves. And she asks that, she said, goes on to say, in fact, we can even ask ourselves, what does it mean to feel at home in who I am, in my body, and in my life? Yeah, yeah, really cool. So again, the numerology of 2020 saying that. Some more numerology, and I got this from a dear friend. Her name is Deborah Rosen, and she's an astrologer. And Deborah says 2020 is also 22/4. In numerology, which stands for structure, stability, foundation, work, and service. Yeah, there we go again. There we go again. She says 22 is a master number representing the master builder, so it will be a very powerful year. Yeah, yeah. So master builder numbers, like 11 is a master builder number, 22. And when those show up, that means that spiritually there is an opening, there's a portal that is open to really help us get in alignment with our truth, with our higher purpose, so that we can produce the things that are necessary for us to be here, to be okay, to be happy, to be joyful, to be fulfilled, to be loving. Yeah, like these are the love numbers of the universe. And I'm not talking this romantic love. I'm talking about what love is really about, that how can I help? Yeah, without expecting anything in return. That's love. That's really what love is about. Yeah, very, very powerful. Very powerful. So from there, let's jump into some elemental wisdom for this week, which I do according to the Daggera cosmological wheel. And because January 1st landed on a Wednesday. The elemental week goes from a Wednesday to a Tuesday. So right now we are still in a nature week. We are still being churned up. Yeah, in our nature week. We're still welcoming this change that is coming in. And so this Wednesday, the 15th, to Tuesday, the 21st, we will have our first Earth Week in this Earth year. And here's the opportunity. It's about receiving support. Yeah. You are worthy is the message. Embrace the power of self-love and honor the energetic of the earth element as you open yourself to receive what you need to be fulfilled, nurtured, appreciated, and loved. Be self-full. This is cosmic reciprocity for all that you have done to support others. You deserve it. Ask and you shall receive. So, again, for those of you who have been out there saying, how can I help, and doing it without expecting anything in return, being true to this love energy inside of you, this week, allow yourself to receive back the reciprocity, and again, in ways that you can't imagine. So this is about getting your tank filled up so that you can continue to be of service to others in the loving way that you have been. So it's okay to be self-full, to expect that, yeah, okay, something's coming in, yeah. And again, you're worthy, you deserve it. Now, here are some distractions with that, because sometimes the way we get our reciprocity is that we do have to ask for help. And so do not be afraid of hearing a no. A no is just saying, it's not this way. This is not the way. And you accept that and go on and ask again and ask again and ask again, because finally you will get to your yes. So don't be afraid of hearing a no. Do what you need to do to get what it is that you need at this time. Also, that fear of being a burden, you know, like we may be in need of something, but, oh, no, I don't want to, you know, they'll think I shouldn't be asking. They think I'm being a burden, you know. No, and you know the difference if you're scamming, you know, or not. But when you really need help, it's okay to ask. And don't think you're a burden. When it's real, when it's genuine, and you ask for help and the person helps you out, you're giving them, you know, an opportunity to be blessed. Because like I just said, when we give help without expecting something in return, right away we're getting connected to our divinity. We're being blessed. Yeah. So if you're afraid to ask, you can think about, but wait a minute, I'm not helping that person get their blessing. Yeah, yeah. So again, let go of thinking you're a burden. That's a distraction to receiving support. And then last but not least, let go of the judgment, that fear of being weak or a failure. Yeah. I don't know of anybody who doesn't need help. And I don't care how many millions of dollars somebody may have. They still need help because money can't buy you love. Money can't really solve an emotional problem. Yeah, all money can do is look at you and say, hi, feeling bad, hi, you know. And you can use it to buy as many things as you think that are going to help you feel good and eat as much as you can. But at the end of the day, you're back to, I feel really bad. Yeah. So everybody needs help at some point and in some way. And it's never that you're weak or a failure. It's just you're human. You know, we're here to experience all sides of the spectrum, all sides, the ups, the downs, the ins, the outs, the highs, the lows, the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful, all of it, all of it. So we're never going to just stay in one station all the time. We're here to experience it all. So again, this week, this Earth week, be in that energy of abundance mentality, wealth mentality, and let yourself receive, let yourself experience how worthy you are, how valuable you are, let yourself receive the support that you deserve. Now, on the following Wednesday, the 22nd, we'll begin a fire week, time to be truthful. And, of course, I will tell you all about that in the next broadcast. Yes. I want to move in now to the Chinese New Year information for 2020, which comes on the 25th. It comes in January this year, and it will last until February the 11th, 2021. So the Chinese New Year is on a lunar calendar. Yeah, so they go through the 13 moons. And so this new moon of January the 25th brings in the year of the white metal rat. Now, what's really significant about this is that the rat is the first animal in the Chinese zodiac. There are 12 animals, and the rat is the first one. So this year kicks off a new 12-year and ultimately a 60-year cycle of human growth and development. Yeah. So in the Chinese astrology, you have these 12 animal signs of the zodiac, and each of those animals also has an aspect to it related to their medicine wheel, which has these four elements they use. So they use fire, water. No, wait, they use five elements too. What am I talking about? They use five elements. And it's fire, water, earth. I think they do wind and metal. Yeah. Or maybe it's nature and metal, but something like that. But they have these five elements. And so each of the animals then gets subscribed one of those different elements. Oh, wood, that's what it is. It's wood, not wind, it's wood. And so that's why ultimately it takes 60 years to get through the entire zodiacal cycle in the Chinese zodiac. Yeah. And what that means is by the time you're 60, you will have gone through all of the different aspects of each of those animals, which represent different energies, different opportunities, possibilities in life. And so by the time you're 60, you're really ready to be an elder, because you will have walked through all of what life has to offer you in terms of challenges and this and that. Yeah, very, very, very wonderful. And a lot of people don't think that. They don't, you know, again, in Western culture, most of us are afraid of aging because we see it as, oh, my God, I'm going to get sick and die, instead of, oh, wow, I will get to a place where I have wisdom because I've gone through the years of the white metal rat five times, you know, it's that kind of thing. Yeah, it's really cool. So let me tell you about the rat year. And I have a friend who is Asian and grew up with the Chinese New Year, and she told me that the year of the rat is considered to be a good year. And information I found says that the rat year is considered a year of new beginnings, new opportunities for success. The metal rat is an armed rat. He's got yang energy, and he's ready to take on the reset of long-standing negativity into positive energy and outlooks. Rats have spirit, wit, alertness, delicacy, flexibility, and vitality. So I'm going to tell you that I, as long as I can remember, have a deep phobia of rodents, especially rats, like deep. Like if I just even suspect that I could see one out on the street or, God forbid, in the house, I am like locked down emotionally in just fear. It's just, it's crazy. It's not as bad as it used to be. I really did take on, like, I need to work on this. I need to heal it because it's irrational. It's irrational. It's not, you know, so it's based on something. So I've been working on that. But at one point, something that really helped me was a conversation I had with my friend who's a great artist. Her name is Shelby Keith. And Shelby told me that, oh, I've had rats as pets. And I was like, I'm a pet. And she began to talk to me about these rats that she had as pets and that they didn't live that long, but how gentle they were and sweet they were. And for the first time, I began to think that, oh, well, they are divine creatures. You know, they're here for a reason. Like, oh, maybe they're not supposed to be disposable in the way that we think of them, or that they're all evil and ready to bite you just looking at you. And it really did help me open up to consider rats in a very different way, in a loving way. And so I think that's a thing for this year, because when most people hear rat, I don't care if it's white or metal, it's still a rat, like a rat year. You might think, right, like it's a year of danger or something bad. But no, it's really about opening up to learning, getting the treasure, I'll say, in a year that could seem to be a very, very challenging and bad year. But again, it's a new opportunity. It's a reset time. It's a beginning of a new cycle of growth and development, and that is something to be really, really excited and happy about. So there you have it, Chinese New Year's 2020, adding to the mix, right, of all of this stuff that is going on. Just a reminder that January 22nd is what I've declared Earth Day, because I'm doing it every month, and I will get to you something, a suggestion that you can do to connect with the Earth. And I think, of course, because we're opening up this Earth year, it would be really, really important to do. And I'll post that in Facebook and also below the video. Now, let me step into, and I'm looking at my time. Like I said, there's so much to share. So I may go over a little bit because I want to get as much of this in for you as I can, some basics. So very briefly and quickly, just to say that on the 10th, on Friday, we had a lunar eclipse in Cancer. Energy was really big, really, really big. Then yesterday, the 11th, we had the planet Uranus, who's the great chronologer. You know, he's like the father of Jupiter. He's totally about right timing. He went direct. And the big message astrologers say in that is that we've been given a divine go-ahead to do what it is that we must do. So it's like the gate is open. Yeah, it's time. And then today we have the conjunction of all conjunctions that hasn't happened like this in 500 years, and that is the Saturn conjunct Pluto in the sign of Capricorn. So in other words, Saturn and Pluto have conjunct, but not in the sign of Capricorn. It's been 500 years. Yeah. And what's conjunction? Conjunction in astrology is when two planets are combined, their energies are combined because they're in the same point in the sky. And this often results, of course, as the strengthening of both of their energies, right? So Saturn is all about rules and structure and framework and responsibility and maturity. And Pluto is about profound transformation because Pluto eliminates anything that is toxic, outdated, and what can no longer sustain growth, right? So Pluto's like, we're going to tear it down. It's coming to an end. Then Capricorn is a sign of institutions, role models, politics, and how society works. Therefore, this conjunction will bring a profound restructuring of the existing systems and structures so we can find better rules, better systems, and better governing institutions. Now, this astrologer I got this from, who I really like, her name is Astro Butterfly. She says, governing institutions go beyond politics, She says, you are a governing institution. Your life is a governing institution. Anything that requires planning, structure, and an operating model is a governing institution. All the rules, customs, laws, and principles anchored in the past that can no longer sustain life will have to die to allow new rules, customs, laws, and principles to emerge. Wow. 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 Yeah. And again, it's like we're being asked collectively and individually, right, to really, really accept that there's no going back and that we are in a new world, we're in a new time, and we need to move forward. We need to move forward. Just quickly, some of the energetics that have happened historically when Saturn and Pluto have conjunct. And again, the first one I talked about last week was 500 years ago was the Reformation that happened to the Catholic Church because of Martin Luther's saying, you all are corrupt, this ain't working. He nailed these 95 theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. It went viral, and boom, you have the Lutheran religion showing up, then the Methodists, the Quakers, all of that stuff comes out of that act, that Reformation. That was in 1517. Another historical piece I found that was really interesting is in 1518, the rise of the transatlantic slave trade. So that year is when King Charles I of Spain signed a pivotal charter with the Portuguese traders, authorizing Spain to send slave ships directly to the Americas from Africa. Yeah, and we know about the impact that that has had over the last 400 years. Yeah, amazing. So again, that happened at that time. And then in 1982, when there was the Saturn-Pluto conjunction, it wasn't in the sign of Capricorn. It was in Libra. But it just another example of how, you know, stuff shifts when those two get together. And I found out that shortly after they joined forces, this company called Core Civic was established, and it became the first corporation to privately own a prison here in the United States. In 2020, Core Civic, which now has changed its name to Corrections Corporation of America, is a publicly traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, reporting annual revenues of $1.7 billion. Yeah. Yeah, something to think about. Something to think about. Now, you should know that right now, this corporation is in the news because there's a class action lawsuit pending alleging that the company forced labor in their detention centers using inmates as workforce instead of hiring local employees. So they're just doing another form of slavery, right? And also, you should know that they have been scooping up government contracts at the controversial ICE detention centers that hold asylum seekers in custody. Yeah, yeah. So it's time for some fundamental reform to happen, because this is not okay. This is not okay. No, not at all. So those two planets coming together, you know, big stuff, big stuff. And again, you know, these things that are coming up that are not okay, that are injustice, that are not in balance, it's not right, it goes against humanity, they're coming up so that we can see it and say no to it and to change it. So do remember that. You know, and I think that's the job of these two planets coming together, is to really kind of illuminate, hey, look, you got this going on. This is not okay. So let me talk about, for you to navigate through these energies on a personal level, navigating this 2020 transit, that getting from here to there. And where is there, right? Where is there? And maybe right now, most of us only know of what was that we're leaving. We know where we're coming from. We may not be too clear about where we're going, but we know we've got to move. There are some things we know we need to be really clear about where we're headed to. Just in that quick example about prisons, like there, we need to really, really understand that locking people up and not really addressing the root causes for criminal behavior is not going to change anything. And the fact that a company can make billions of dollars off of that, just locking people up, is not okay. It's really not okay. So know that 100 years ago in the United States, there were social and economic progress made, especially for women, when they removed their corsets and cut and bobbed their hair and shortened their dresses and were given the right to vote. Yeah, that's been like 100 years, okay? Also, you had Black people demonstrating more than their genius through the Harlem Renaissance and the initiating of their global influence on pop culture, which continues to this day through jazz and divas like Josephine Baker. You know, she was really hot stuff in the 1920s. The jazz became like the world, the global music around the world. It was America's original music, the first original music of America. Also, you had filmmaking going to Hollywood, to California. It becomes what today would be a gazillion-dollar industry, but it was just beginning back there. And being young, good-looking, and healthy becomes a lifestyle in which everyone, to which everyone aspires. But as the car and other machine-making industries introduce buy now, pay later, the age of consumerism is born. So as more people leave farms for cities, there's no lack of workers willing to do whatever it takes to be able to consume. So the status quo becomes compliance with the company in order to have a good life. 100 years later, here are the three major shifts we need to make personally and collectively as a result of all of what happened 100 years ago. First of all, we need to shift away from being consumers to stewards. You know, out of control consumerism just in the microfibers, which is plastic bottles, bags, Amazon packaging, it's destroying our ecology. It's destroying our ecology. The seabeds are full of stuff that is allowing the living creatures to do what they need to do. And especially especially in terms of people's living spaces, there's just so much garbage, so much microfiber. It's out of control, and it's a problem. It's a big, big problem. And that's just one example of consumerism gone crazy. So we've got to shift out of that and become stewards of the earth. We really have to get that when I go to the store and I buy a bottle of water, a plastic bottle of water, I'm having an impact on the ecology. And it's not just about to recycle it, but I need to think about, is there something else that I could be using? Is there something that's better? Like, we need to come up with better solutions. We also need to go from being mindless workers, like we just came off the farm, to mindful contributors. Yeah. We need to get that we're not just here to survive, that we're here to make a contribution. And so we really need to be thinking about, how is it that I really want to be spending my time and energy? How is it that I want to work? And to be working for that. And I think now more than ever in Western culture, you do have more people thinking entrepreneurially, you know, wanting to be in charge of their time and their energy and to use their gifts and talents. And we do need to see more of that happening. And then the other big shift is from being compliant to being creative. And again, you know, it's so easy for us to participate with companies and things that are just, you know, making a mess. And we need to wake up to that, you know. Compliance holds in place that which is harmful and no longer serves the good of humanity and animals and all living things, you know, the burning of the Amazon, you know, what's going on in Central Africa, even the Catholic Church not addressing the root cause of abuse by priests and nuns, you know. That's the problem. That's a problem. So we need to be creative and come up with new solutions for how to be in community with each other from a place of love and not fear. So next step in our shifting, I want to share with you what I call five fundamental areas for self-actualization and five postures that we can take to support that. Now, self-actualization, which I'll be talking about more in the coming months, is basically about growing up. This is basically what it's about. It's about maturing and growing up. Because when you're self-actualized, not only do you accept yourself and love yourself, not only are you kind and generous and loving to others, but you are very, very capable of knowing the difference between love and fear, and you have the ability to choose love over fear when put into a situation where that needs to happen. Yeah. So it really is about growing up. And we're just in a time, folks. 2020 really is a marking. It really is that threshold where we have got to wake up, clean up, show up, grow up, and open up. Yeah. So here are the five postures related to that. Wake up. Wake up through and to the truth of who you are. This is about trusting your inner self, trusting your intuition, trusting your uniqueness more than you trust what somebody else might be telling you or want to tell you. It's about really being true to yourself, becoming authentic, becoming real. Yeah. Clean up. That's through vulnerability. Yeah. This is about allowing yourself to take risk instead of trying to manipulate and connive and cheat and all of that kind of stuff to get what it is that you want, especially love, you know. It's about cleaning up those places and spaces within you that you know ain't right. And you know it ain't right. Yeah. And we all have that to a degree. But unless we're willing to be vulnerable, meaning open-hearted, meaning not afraid to risk, not afraid to risk being in the truth of who we are, saying, you know what, I like that. That does work for me. You know. And, you know, not needing to think you've got to convince somebody else that they got to like that too. You know, again, clean it up, clean it up. Show up and show up through worthiness. This is about removing blocks to believing that you're unworthy, not valuable or disposable. Yeah. Because when you don't believe you're worthy or valuable, you won't show up. You're going to be hiding. You're going to be hiding. But to really be in alignment with this transit of 2020, to navigate through it, you got to show up. So you got to believe you're worthy and valuable. The next one is grow up. And you do that through commitment to your higher purpose. Yeah, this is about remembering that you are here on purpose, that you are born full, that there's something inside of you that the world needs. And I don't care how small you may think it is. It's huge. It's huge, but you're here for a reason. And so stepping into that commitment of higher purpose is about maturing and growing up, coming out of whining and moaning and groaning and comparing yourself to other people, you know, whatever you do to hold yourself back from being in the truth of who you are and living that truth, living on higher purpose. And then last but not least, opening up is through adaptability. This is, you got to let go of knowing and you got to step into not knowing, which is curiosity. You won't be able to really get to everything else I just talked about unless you're really willing to open yourself up to learning what your truth is, who you really are, what your higher purpose is, how valuable you are, right? And to open your heart, first of all, to yourself. And that's that changing up energy, you know. Yeah, rising up, changing up through opening up. And the adaptability is because things are going to shift in your life. And your plans may not be the plans that 2020 is really about. 2020 may have a whole nother plan for you. And so you're going to have to open up to learning how to be with that, how to make the most out of what you are given so that you really can have a happy ending in life. Yeah. To trust that you're going to be given exactly what you need in order to get to the truth of who you are, and to be on higher purpose. So again, that adapting, you know, letting go of holding on to what you think, but opening up to something new, something different is here. Now, here's a personal challenge for you. I want you to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 5 for each of those areas and postures I talked about. So in other words, where are you at with waking up and truth, cleaning up and vulnerability, showing up and worthiness, growing up and commitment, and opening up and adaptability? Where are you at? Take time to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 5. Next, I want you to identify what you believe can help you grow and evolve in each of those areas. So for example, with waking up to the truth, what do you think could help you with that? What would support you in that? What do you need so that you can be woke to the truth of who you are? Yeah. And sit with that, play with that, really open up to that. Yeah. Next, I want you to choose one of these areas and postures to focus on now. Take it on now. Yeah. And then I want you to share your intention with someone you love and who can hold space for you as you work on yourself. Yeah. And that's called making an annual commitment, making an annual commitment. Yeah. Much better than I got to lose 5 pounds so I can look good in a bikini by August. And you can do that too. But we're talking about some inner work here. We're talking about the deep work that is going to make a difference for how you show up externally so that life doesn't beat you down, life doesn't get you, that you actually experience life gifting you. Yeah. So this personal challenge will be listed in the box below my YouTube, and I will post it on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio. I think I've made it. I've come to the closing. So amazing that I made it through. At one point, I didn't think I was going to, but I'm glad I did because, again, like I said, this is foundational information, I believe, to help you navigate through this incredible, you know, just prophetic year that we are in. And by the end of this year, we've got another big jump in human evolution that's coming. And so by taking on your inner work, you're going to be prepared for that. Well, I want to close first by shouting out to my wonderful engineer, Miss Mathia, who had completed her first year at Brown University in Rhode Island, and she said she had a great time. So I am so happy to hear that. Yeah, how wonderful. Again, Maxia, blessings to you and the entire Black Hole Radio Be Well family. Couldn't do this work without you. Thank you so much for holding space for me. I want to do a shout out to all my regular listeners out there, starting with Miss Sarah, who at 95 brings evidence that we can navigate the 2020 transit successfully. You know why? Because she's 95 years old. She's been through lots of conjunctions, and she's here laughing, you know, eating burgers with me at Mel's Diner, having a good time. So she's proof that you can do your inner work and you can make it through. To all those who have wisdom walk with me and you know who you are, to my family, my spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters all around the globe, and those who may be listening or watching for the first time, thank you, thank you, thank you. I could not do this without your listenership, your viewership, and your loving support. Now, next week, I will rebroadcast the New Year's message for 2020 over the next two Sundays. I'll be doing rebroadcasts over Black Hole Radio. And I'll return to live broadcast on Sunday, February the 2nd, which happens to be Groundhog Day, one of my favorite days to talk about. So, excuse me. Please check out my Wisdom Walk Radio page because, like I said, I will post some things on there. And my YouTube channel, please subscribe and like so you can get all of the videos that I complete on Tuesday, hopefully by Wednesday, without having to look for it. It'll just come ding into your inbox. But last but not least, I would like to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides, loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important inner work with and for all of you. Have a fabulous, fabulous Earth Week in this opening Earth year of 2020. And do remember, most importantly, that you are not disposable. So don't treat yourself that way. You are divine. Good night now.